Welcome to the Palpably Unfair podcast. My name is Kyle Posey. I have a new co-host, a better co-host, Kate Majuk. Kate, what up? What's going on?
What is up? I don't know about better, but I'm here and I'm ready to talk football. So that I think that counts for a little bit of everything. How's it going?
I'm doing great. Kate, we need to tell the listener about your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Who is Kate?
Oh, gosh. I've been asking myself this for 29 years now. Still haven't come up with a great answer. I am the editorial coordinator over at DraftKings Nation. Super excited they brought me on this past October. Has been an amazing experience here with the DraftKings Nation team, SB Nation team, Vox Media. Such a cool experience. I'm actually a nurse by trade, so that's a fun fact. I quit my full-time nursing job back in October for this job. So this is my little adventure, and I'm having fun because I get to talk football and really cool sports stuff for a living, which is like kind of the dream, I think.
It is. I would say that is true. There is zero stress that you have to worry about in the football world. So DraftKings, does that make you a degenerate?
It does. Absolutely. I've been a degenerate forever. I just can formally sort of assume the title, which feels nice. It does. It feels like I get to really iron in a piece of my identity. Like I said, I've been working on that for a while. So
you are a professional degenerate. So welcome as always. So we are going to talk about free agency because the last week the NFL signed a billion players, and me and Kate are going to talk about some of the teams that improved the most and some of the teams that did not. And we are looking at you, Raiders. We will get to you later, but let's start off with the good. So Kate, we're going to go countdown style. Who is your first team, and maybe I should phrase this better, your fifth team, because we're in countdown from 5 to 1, that improved?
I'm actually going to switch this up. So I'm going to switch up our show notes a little bit. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Chargers. I am super pumped for what they've done with their offensive line. You've got yourself a franchise quarterback. I think we saw that very clearly last season. Even though the record didn't necessarily play out, I think – Justin Herbert definitely outplayed his record last season. He looked phenomenal. To get him two solid pieces on the offensive line, I think is just such a strong move, such a strong statement. Because overall, man, I feel like the last game of the season, the Super Bowl, just left a very big impression upon all of us and just how important offensive line can be for your quarterback. But, I mean, they've got they added Corey Linsley, Matt Feeler. They did lose Mike Pouncey to retirement officially. He wasn't there with them last season. But I just think having those key pieces, Corey Linsley, he's one of my favorite pieces in offense in general over the free agency period, formerly with the Packers. I think he's going to have an opportunity to make a really solid impact on just the development of their rookie quarterback, because I think, man, I'm so excited for what he showed us last season. And I think the sky's going to be the limit for this kid if they can keep him healthy and protected.
Yeah, I think Herbert, the peace of mind with Corey Linsley is the big part here. So he doesn't have to worry about running for his life. I mean, we saw a little bit, you know, Herbert do that last year, and he had to do that some in Oregon. So only having to focus on throwing to Keenan Allen and not dropping back 15 yards, scrambling for your life makes a big difference. So you went with the Chargers, and I'm going to go with the 49ers at number 5. And just because they brought back a lot of their players, they didn't. Heading into the offseason, a lot of people didn't think they'd be able to retain a lot of their players simply because Jimmy Garoppolo's contract. They were able to work around Dee Ford's contract, create some space in that way, and just retain K'Wan Williams. They just signed on Wednesday morning, Jaquaski Tartt. So there's two starters right there. And Trent Williams obviously is a big one. So their left tackle is set in stone. And Emmanuel Mosley, Jason Verrett, you can go on and on. So they're quote unquote keeping the band together. While that may not seem smart for a 6-10 team, but they're betting on essentially a lot of their players to stay healthy. So let's move on here. Who is your number 4 team, Kate, that improved the most?
I'm going to go with the New York Giants. I'm super pumped to see what the Giants are going to be up to in the coming season. I think they did a couple of really interesting things. I think they made some moves to improve on defense. I love the signing of Adoree Jackson lining up across from James Bradberry. I think that's a really just a solid move. You've got great secondary now. They got Leonard Williams on his long-term deal. He was PFF's most fifth most highly graded run defender last season. To have him locked up under a long-term deal, you don't have to fight about the franchise tag anymore. I think that's such a huge part. And I mean, let's talk about what they did offensively. They signed Kenny Golladay, which Kenny Golladay got himself paid $18 million a year for a wide receiver in this free agency period, where we're a little short on cash from pretty much all sides of the ball here. I think Kenny Golladay was one of the best signings you could have had, because you're giving, this is Daniel Jones time, put up or shut up. Let's give you a true wide receiver one. Let's see what you can do with it. And if you can't work with Kenny Golladay, then I think they at least have, you know, some answers for their franchise and the direction they want to go. I think they did a lot with, I mean, they didn't have a ton of cap space or really anywhere to move in terms of that situation there. I love what they were able to accomplish there with a smaller budget. I think they did a great job.
Let me ask you about Kenny Golladay, because that's a player who I struggle with when I watch. I'm not sure how good he is. I know he's good, but I don't know how good he is. So let me put you on the spot. Over under 1,000 yards, let's say 1,050 yards, just to middle it here, for Kenny Golladay next year.
I'll say over. If he stays healthy, Kenny Golladay, I just think he gives Daniel Jones a true number one target. I think regardless of sort of your belief of Daniel Jones, I think this move does raise Daniel Jones' floor a bit as a quarterback. I think it makes him a little bit safer, and I think it gives you a true chance to develop or see if he has the potential to develop as a quarterback. This is what the Bills did last season. I'm not saying that Daniel Jones is bound for a breakout season like Josh Allen, but I think that they sort of followed the similar pattern, right? Where they're just trying to see, what do we have? We invested this high draft pick in this guy, but we don't know what he can really do. This is the moment where Kenny Golladay helps us find out. And I think it's a good move for fantasy too. I think he's going to see some volume. I think Kenny Golladay is going to be an interesting play, because the Giants aren't sexy, but they're making these moves that are sort of low-key sexy.
Yeah, I think Golladay is going to have to get volume just by default in that sense. But I mean, if Danny Dimes can't produce now, then when will he ever produce? So I'm going to go with Cleveland, because they desperately needed to add some team speed, and they did that. So they signed John Johnson from the Rams, who is a very, very good player. They also, I mean, when in doubt, just sign players from the best defense in the NFL. So they signed Troy Hill as well. And those are two guys that will help them in the secondary. They also added Tack McKinley, Malik Jackson, Anthony Walker. And they I think they did a nice job of bringing back Rashard Higgins, who is another very underrated player. How about this? Who will be a better value next year, Rashard Higgins or Kenny Golladay?
Ooh, I'm still going to roll with value. See, value is such a tricky word, because
it is. It's a trap.
Because honestly, like, as it stands right now, you have to consider the fact that, I mean, Rashard Higgins might not even be drafted in your fantasy leagues, but he's just been such a key player. And I think he showed off a lot of just real NFL chemistry, even when it wasn't exciting for fantasy football. He had a nice rapport with Baker Mayfield. I think he's just a really reliable, like you said, underrated signing. So I think bringing him back was huge. But honestly, more interesting, especially if maybe, I know we've sort of all written OBJ off as Brown. I feel like we've all sort of been in the camp where we think he's headed out of town, probably. That could make Rashard Higgins a massive, massive value. And it honestly could do the same for Austin Hooper. We're looking at a tight end who was one of the best receiving tight ends in the league not too long ago. He was in a new offense, lost his appendix last season at a knee injury. I think all over the field, like, they've got some big-time playmakers. I'm excited to see the Browns next season. I don't really think that 2020 was a fluke, but it might be because I went to school in Cleveland and I just love Cleveland. They're a good town. They're such a good town, but I think they're making strides to put together a really complete picture of their football team. And I really like the moves they're making.
So where are you going to go for your third team? We've gone through a few here. What's next on the docket here, Kate?
I'm going to go with Washington. I love, love, love what they've done on particularly offense, because we saw last season their defense. They've got some big playmakers. Chase Young, I think he's really going to make a great leader for their team. I mean, year one to come out and have a guy that I think just carried that team spirit the way that he did. I was really impressed with just his overall leadership. But Washington, I think the move to bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick was so like fantastic. You don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. Maybe they, make some moves in the draft. Maybe they get a guy like Mac Jones. But I think when you're looking at building from a franchise perspective, bringing in a veteran like Ryan Fitzpatrick, even if he, let's just say he doesn't start the whole season, let's say he doesn't start at all, I still think he's probably one of the best vets you could have brought into your program to be a leader. And sort of, they needed a fresh start. They really needed a fresh start. And I think they're sort of on their way to doing that. But also the signing of Curtis Samuel, get a guy who's really dynamic, and you're going to put him in the same offense as Antonio Gibson, who's also dynamic. You could put the two of those guys in the backfield and you don't know what's going to be coming next, because they're both capable rushers and receivers. So I think they could be doing some really interesting things, but Fitzpatrick could be really sneaky for fantasy football. And I'm not even afraid to say it.
I think that you have been listening to the Pupcast, because I don't think we've gone an episode without talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick. This is a pro Ryan Fitzpatrick show. So yeah. I had Washington at number two, and a lot of that is because I think Ryan Fitzpatrick will do great for them, because he will just close his eyes, throw fadeaway passes to Terry McLaurin. But now he has Curtis Samuel, who I think has been proven to be one of the more underrated receivers in the NFL. McLaurin was number six last year in yards after catch. Samuel was number 24. So those two are just going to have a field day, I imagine, in that offense. And we haven't even talked about them adding William Jackson, who was one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL last year. And he did sign for a lot of money, 3 years, $40 million. But with what Washington needs, and in that division, he's going to be tasked to guard some, difficult receivers. So they needed a guy who could do that. So a big Washington fan, just as far as what they've done this offseason. I'm not sure if they are going to draft a quarterback or not, but with having Fitzmagic, they have the luxury of, trying to do what's best, or quote unquote best available player. I'm going to go with Denver, actually, and change it up a little bit, because I like what they've done just by staying on the secondary here, adding cornerbacks. So they were atrocious last year in the secondary. So they signed Kyle Fuller, who is a very, very good player. They also added Ronald Darby, formerly of Washington, who did play very well last year as well. So AJ Bouye out the door, replacing those two with Fuller, replacing them with Darby. Justin Simmons signed a big deal. Good for him. And Shelby Harris, man. So Shelby Harris, very good player. Another guy that we've talked about here. I believe he was on one of our football guys in the defensive, on the defensive side of things. So Denver doing a good job of bringing back their core and also adding talent. Where are you going to go for your second team, Kate?
This is a tough one. Oh man. I kind of want to steal your answer a little bit with the Jets. I like what the Jets are doing to set themselves up for a fresh beginning. I don't like, I want to just throw that entire team out the window. For real. But I do like the fact that they brought in like a Corey Davis, who, if you are going to be giving Sam Darnold a shot and actually, I said this with Daniel Jones, if you're going to give your quarterback a shot and really say, like, this is the year where you can show me. I think Corey Davis is a really underrated asset in terms of a guy that can just make your quarterback a better player. They've had all these flashes, Quinnen Williams. They've had all of these little pieces that have sparkled and shined, but that together they haven't made a very pretty picture. So I like the moves that they're making from an offensive perspective, though I do think, I mean, what they've done so far, they haven't done anything for the running back position. Do you think they draft a running back in the first or second round this year?
I don't know. I think they're so Najee Harris would be great for them. There's no doubt about it. I think with the Jets, so they have, you know, Robert Saleh is now the defensive-minded coach, but they brought in like a Shanahan style of offensive coordinator. So I imagine they're going to go the Shanahan route and just kind of wait. Corey Davis said he signed under the impression that Sam Darnold would be the quarterback. If you are a free agent, based on what you've seen from Sam Darnold, how do you come to that conclusion is what I want to ask you, knowing that. I mean, Sam Darnold, he could be very, very good, but we've seen him be very, very bad. So there's a lot of hope in that sense. But what do you think about Corey Davis saying that?
I think it's interesting. It makes me think because when we're looking at what we've seen from Darnold just on the field, we haven't seen enough to make me think that, yes, he's the guy moving forward. So the fact that Corey Davis did say that just makes me wonder if that was something that, you know, came more conversationally. And that was like the vibe from the team that they are giving him a shot to be the starter. Because I just think, I don't know, it would be a weird bet to roll with. Like, I wouldn't want to put my money on Sam Darnold unless I had some like insider trading information. but Corey Davis, you know, if he doesn't play with Sam Darnold, his ceiling's probably a bit higher. But from a free agency perspective and from, you know, just the perspective of trying to evaluate Sam Darnold as a quarterback, I think Corey Davis is probably one of the more underrated signings of free agency. He had a really, really good final season with the Titans and sort of caught everybody off guard. I mean, maybe this is the move that it's not a Kenny Galladay signing by any means, but hey, he's got the draft capital. Maybe this is his move to, you know, see what Sam Darnold's made of, if he can make him better and elevate. If not, the Jets know they can move on, and they're moving on with a really talented head coach that I think could send them in the right direction as well as you possibly could for the New York Jets.
I liked your point about saying that Davis makes the quarterback better, because I think he got a bad rap just, you know, from where he was drafted. He was drafted really high and was expected to be a superstar, so people treated him as if he should produce as a superstar. But he was just a really solid player, and yeah, I don't think Tannehill has the season he does without him. And obviously, AJ Brown is great, but Davis deserved a lot of credit. So, and obviously, we also have to talk about them signing Carl Lawson, who is a very, very underrated player, and I don't think he will be underrated for too much longer with Robert Saleh. So my number one team is going to be probably the same as everyone else's, the Patriots. But the reason I say that is because they were so bad last year from a talent perspective that they had no other choice but to spend all of this money in free agency. So Hunter Henry and Johnny Smith are probably, you know, the bigger names that we're going to talk about. So Cam Newton has two tight ends to throw to, and he also has Nelson Aguilar. He has Kendrick Bourne. So they went out and signed pretty much four wide receivers, or pass catchers, we'll call them, who will be able to help right away. The team also spent big money on Matt Judon. So now they have a pass rusher. They're going to get some guys back who opted out last year. They're going to probably have to shuffle around some of the offensive line, but they replaced Marcus Cannon with Trent Brown. I would say that that's an upgrade. And if you're just expecting a better version of Cam now that he has, you know, better weapons to throw to, I would say that the Patriots were probably the team that improved the most, but with a caveat that it would have been tough for them to get worse based on the product that they put on the field.
That subtext there. I think I got to go with the Patriots too. There's no way you don't go with the Patriots. And I think a part of that does have to do with the fact that there's nowhere else to go. When you're at your lowest, there's nowhere else to go but up. But I mean, the Patriots, let's look at like what they were trying to accomplish. I mean, Bill Belichick, he's utilized that two tight end scheme before. And I think you probably couldn't find two better. I'm not going to say the names. I'm not going to say Gronkowski and Hernandez. I'm not going to say it, but let's just say, like, if that's the style of football that they want to play right now, I think you couldn't have found two better tight ends to do that. I think, I mean, Belichick has spoken so highly of Jonnu Smith in the past. He said he's one of the most versatile tight ends in football, and you can use him all over the field, which is so true. Hunter Henry, I think, is going to be a great just possession guy for that offense. And Cam Newton, I think he's probably the most underrated signing. And it sounds really gross because we haven't liked to watch Cam Newton play football. But I mean, Cam Newton is such a great competitor. I think the way they structured his deal is really interesting too. You can give him a little bit more money, but leasing that deal with incentives, I think, is a really smart move for a man as competitive as Cam Newton. If it doesn't pan out, great, you save some money. If not, you're giving Cam Newton some of that money that he deserves. But I mean, we forget he was sitting at 2-1. I know it's a very small sample size, but he was sitting at 2-1 before he got COVID. And he admitted right out of the gate that time away from the team just sort of destroyed that momentum that he had started to build with his receivers. I mean, when Jacoby Myers is your leading receiver, that's a problem. And yeah. I mean, N'Keal Harry, he has not panned out, can't separate. There's just so many different players in that offense. Hopefully, you know, I don't think we're all forgetting about Julian Edelman too. I feel like it's as if he's retired, but he hasn't technically retired. So imagine a healthy Julian Edelman back, because I feel like he's never going to retire either. I think you're looking at what could be a much better Cam Newton. And I mean, you just can't understate what he was able to do with his legs. And I mean, putting two tight ends like Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith in front of him, that works. That works. I like it.
Yeah, I think you had a great point about Cam and just dealing with COVID, because when he played early in the season in those first three games, he looked like the Cam of old. He looked like almost an MVP type of, you know, MVP type of player against the Seahawks in that game that was on primetime. And then, you know, the more he played and when he came back, he didn't look the same. And it's almost as if COVID has an effect on your body. Who knew? And as we mentioned, they didn't have any NFL receivers. They had practice squad tight ends. It looked like he had no place to go with the football. And he was still valuable with his legs, as you mentioned. And that does matter. We can't ignore that, because he scored a lot of touchdowns on the ground. And he created plays in short leverage or high leverage situations that were short yardage. So I'm pretty excited to see what the Patriots look like next year. Because we know that they're going to be competitive, because they're competitive with a bad roster this year. So they're probably not going to be as good as the Bills, but I wouldn't rule out them, you know, sneaking into the playoffs. So we're going to take a quick break here. When we return, we are going to get back to more NFL teams, but this time talk about the teams that did not do so hot. All right, and we are back. All right, now let's talk about the teams, and we will call them WTF did you do teams, because there was a lot of money spent, and not every team in the NFL spent their money wisely. So Kate, why don't you kick us off? Which team made you scratch your head, and who's the number five?
This team, actually, I didn't throw them on the show doc, but I was inspired by just my brain. I'm gonna go with my own NFL fandom, the Pittsburgh Steelers. What did you do, guys? And it's not a matter of the money they spent, because they didn't have any money to spend. It was just a weird assortment of roster moves in free agency that has just made me say, WTF did you do? They bring Ben Roethlisberger back, restructure that deal, draw it out even further. I think I speak for every Pittsburgh fan. Ben Roethlisberger does not need to count another season towards our cap space, because that's just sort of how we've been playing this the whole time. But now you've got pieces of the offensive line gone. You've got Bud Dupree left. Didn't repeat that franchise tag. You brought Juju back. I think they dismantled their entire defense in a very odd way. That you wouldn't consider to be a smart move, but then they brought offensive weapons like Ben and Juju back, when I think we're all looking at the Steelers as a defensive powerhouse, not an offensive powerhouse. And then they Mike Hilton gone. They've just got so many different pieces that they let either walk or cut. And I don't think any of these moves make sense in terms of constructing a narrative for what they're trying to accomplish as a football team.
Based on what we all saw from Big Ben last year, why would you re-sign him? Like, in the simplest terms, what did you see from Big Ben to make you want to be like, yep, let's do that again?
Yeah. And, you know, I think, like, you're looking at, an older quarterback. Obviously, you know, I think one of the more underrated storylines of last season, we forget Ben got injured. I think both of his knees, he ended up with some sort of MCL injury or something like that. And I feel like that was when we really started to see the play decline. They spent, you know, so much effort getting the ball out so quickly that, you know, there was no room for any plays to develop for one of the most talented wide receiver corps in the NFL. I mean, Steven Nelson was released yesterday. Like, what? It's just so, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. Steelers, what are you doing? I need to know. Because it just doesn't make sense. Like you said, I don't know what you saw last season out of the offense that would lead you to believe they could be better if you brought Ben back again. And you ruin the defense. I'm a very I'm a grumpy Steelers fan for now. So I'll kick it back to you because I need to cool down here.
Well, it doesn't make sense because they also paid Zach Banner two years, $9.5 million, but he just like never played. Like what are you basing that off of?
ACL. I like towards the end of last season too. So it's just a weird. It's a very weird assortment of moves. And you know what? I feel like it always works out for the Steelers. So maybe nobody's grading them as harshly as we might grade other teams. Because I feel like every single season you look at the Steelers and you're like, I don't really understand what you're doing there. But it generally works out and they end up with a winning record. But just really weird combination of moves this season. Not feeling it.
Sounds like they have a good coach and he masks a lot of their deficiencies. And yeah, I'm a big fan of Nelson. He's a really good player. So that whole situation was very bizarre. What went on Tuesday. So let's move on. Enough Steelers talk for the month. Let's go to the Tennessee Titans because again, I didn't know what their plan was here. Much like the Steelers, I don't know what they were shooting for. So love Janoris Jenkins. Think he is a very good, possibly great cornerback, even at this age, but they let Corey Davis out of the door, Adam Humphries, Jonnu Smith, and both of their starting cornerbacks, so Malcolm Butler and Adoree Jackson, and that could very well be addition by subtraction. But you brought up Bud Dupree. That is another player that I've always struggled with, just as far as, is he that good, or is he feeding off of the likes of TJ Watt and the other 3 to 4 players that are really good on the Steelers front? So a lot of his pressure seems like comes from unblocked. So I don't know if the Titans need to have like a little buyer beware as far as Dupree goes, but I think that the Titans are set for some regression here. Where would you go with that, or who is your next team on the list?
I do want to tack on to the Titans here because I think the move to pay Derrick Henry all of that money when you're going to let pretty much the rest of your offense walk, it's troublesome to me. A.J. Brown, I think, might be one of the best values in fantasy football next season, even though he's going to be drafted as a top 10 wide receiver. I mean, they have nowhere else to go with the ball. It's going to be all Derrick Henry, and it is going to be all A.J. Brown. That's all there's left to the skeleton that is their roster. I think they have to make some moves, probably in the draft. I was saying Elijah Moore. I would just love to see Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss with the Titans, with A.J. Brown and with a strong run game. I think he'd be a really, really exciting fit for them. But really, the number of pieces that they let walk when it feels like you're a sneeze away from at least a Super Bowl run and maybe a trip to the Super Bowl. I don't know that you'd win it, but you had so many pieces in line and to have so many of them walk at the same time, it's troublesome.
So I'm going to go with the Bengals next because I've seen, for whatever reason, Bengals fans think that they're a destination franchise and that people want to willingly move to Cincinnati and play with Joe Burrow fever,
man.
But what effect did he have? So they signed Mike Hilton, But other than that, like, who is the player? Like, they signed Trey Hendrickson, who's like he's okay. He's solid, but he's not a guy when you think of like the top edge rushers. That's a guy that, you know, he's going to be the sack master. Yes, he had a high sack total, but again, that's more of a buyer beware. They lost Carl Lawson, who I would say is significantly better than Trey Hendrickson. They lost William Jackson, who is a significant upgrade from Mike Hilton. So it seems to me that the Bengals are just going to be the Bengals again, even if they do sign Chidobe Awuzie. That's not going to be a guy who's going to move the needle as far as stopping wide receivers. And Riley Reiff, like, that is their offseason when they had a ton of cap space. So Bengals are still going to be in the basement of the AFC North to me.
I think that's 100% accurate. It feels like all of the moves they made, it was sort of like tit for tat. It just doesn't. You didn't move the needle whatsoever, unless you moved it in the wrong direction. I mean, they could have spent some time working on their offensive line. They could have spent some cash working on their offensive line to protect their new franchise quarterback. Don't know. It just felt like there wasn't really a plan there whatsoever. Bengals are never really a team that spend up in free agency, but I think there were plenty of interesting names here, especially on, you know, the offensive line, that they could be considering, who they just haven't. They're not making calls. Maybe they are, but we're not seeing it.
Yeah, maybe that is just ignorance from the head coach, because you watch the Bengals because you are a Steelers fan, and you know that their offensive line was not good. You know that Burrow was running for his life, much like he did at LSU. So it was surprising to see them. You know, I don't know if passive is the word in free agency. Maybe they were aggressive and they just couldn't close, but it's going to be a long season for the Bengals. Let's move on. And again, we've spent way too much on the Bengals. Hopefully we never have to talk about that team again. Who's next on your list?
I got to go with the Raiders. Yes. Talk about a bunch of like lateral moves. I think they made a ton of lateral moves. You know, you get rid of Nelson Agholor, you sign John Brown. All right. You've signed Kenyon Drake, to, you know, who I think actually could be a really underrated, like 1A, 1B situation. I think he and Josh Jacobs could pair really well, but you decimate your offensive line in the process. There's no narrative here that I'm following that makes sense from a roster construction standpoint. You know, you have Derek Carr, who had, I think, 70% of his passes from a clean pocket last season. That was top 12 in the league. And now you traded away two offensive linemen. Another one, you know, he's out. I just don't understand what the plan is for the offensive line, because I just don't think they have enough draft capital. It's not like you can rebuild this whole offensive line and get a center and a tackle. There's no way to do that with just within the draft, I think, based on the volume of needs that they have. Yannick Ngakoue, I think, is an underrated defensive signing. I like that move, but honestly, that's probably one of the only moves that I really like by the Raiders at this point. And it still feels like they've had a lot of transactions, which is weird.
Yeah, I think so. Yannick, I had the Raiders at number two on my list. So Yannick is good, but how good is he going to make the Raiders? Like, how much better is that defense going to be by adding a Yannick Ngakoue? So there's no way as a team, just structurally speaking, that you are going to improve when you have a turnover of like four of your five offensive line starters. So losing Gabe Jackson is going to be huge. Losing Rodney Hudson, who is arguably the best center in the NFL, is going to be a big, big blow. So had no idea what the plan was there. And their prize free agency signing in on the offense is either John Brown or Kenyon Drake. Yeah, that's going to be a problem. So, and again, I actually do agree with you when you were talking about Drake, and I think that they can use him in the passing game, and like he'll be a good target for Derek Carr. But if that's what you're basing your offense off of, how successful are you going to be, especially in a division where you have to go and beat Patrick Mahomes? So yeah, good luck with that, Raiders. I am going to go to the Bears, who again, more head scratching moves. Not sure what their plan was. All offseason, we've heard about how unhappy Allen Robinson is. They made a strong push for Kenny Golladay. And Robinson signed his franchise tag, probably assuming that that was going to happen. And they missed out on him. They didn't do anything. Who's the best signing for the Bears? Maybe Mario Edwards Jr.? Because it sure wasn't Andy Dalton. In no scenario is Andy Dalton going to be the best signing that you have. So that's scary to think about, them having Dalton as their starting quarterback, knowing that, you know, this, it's a strong quarterback draft. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, losing Kyle Fuller hurts. Yes, they signed Desmond Trufant, but that's a significant downgrade. Maybe the real loss for the Bears is them not being able to acquire Russell Wilson, because going from Wilson, a potential of Wilson at quarterback, to Andy Dalton just has to be such
it's a factory of sadness. It's like we fell off a cliff there.
We were
in store for like such an exciting move, because I mean, when you pair some of those defensive assets with a true star on offense, like I have to imagine that Russell Wilson and in congruency with the defense there could have led them to a nice playoff run. But the drop off from Russell Wilson to Andy Dalton is quite steep. And that's not to say that I don't dislike Andy Dalton, but the drop off is absolutely horrendous. So I think it's definitely been an interesting scenario, because it's just sort of like, again, much like the other teams we've already discussed to this point, what is your goal here? I don't know. I can't figure it out.
All right, that leaves one team left, and we have
you all
not
know
talked
who it is.
About the Texans yet. So we have to talk about the Texans. What are they doing? Like, what is the goal here? What is their plan? Again, if we're going based off the best player they sign, who is it? Is it a linebacker? Is it a slot cornerback who cannot run? What are the Texans doing, Kate?
I genuinely don't know. The Texans have made so many moves, and I had to do a write-up. I was looking at the notable free agent signings for the Texans, and I was like, I don't know, like, who qualifies as notable? It's so hard to say in this current situation for the Texans. They've got like a ton of problems anyway, even ahead of all of this Deshaun Watson situation. You had plenty of questions about, was he even going to play for you to begin with? Now just throw in the fact that, it feels like they just sort of, when you're trying to clean up your toys, but you're not trying to do a good job as a child, and you just grab the pile of junk on your floor and shove it in the closet. I feel like that's what they were trying to do when they cleaned up their team. Like, you didn't do a very good job. You made a bigger mess in your closet than you actually did by, you could have just cleaned up the room a little bit. And that's what it feels like the Texans did, because they made moves, but I don't know if I like any of them. I mean, just the ways that they're going about it. I mean, Mark Ingram, Philip Lindsay, it's just such a random assortment of players. Tyrod Taylor, I think he's a good insurance policy. Dante Moncrief, like, you have Brandon Cooks there, who's a very capable wide receiver. You've got one of the more interesting now running back cores in the league, but it's just none of these pieces fit together for me in terms of an offense that's working in any discernible way. And I mean, the defense, what are you going to do with the defense? You have no JJ Watt. I don't know what. You have no centerpiece to your team at this point, and it's troubling.
Yeah, they went from throwing to Will Fuller, and now they're going to throw to his replacement, Andre Roberts. That pretty much sums up the Texans' offseason, because they're throwing a lot of you-know-what at the wall and hoping it sticks with these low-level mm-hmm. signings, but that's just not how you remake your rosters with low-level signings at free agency. They're going to have to build through the draft. There's no doubt about that, but I just – man, they have a lot of – They don't have a lot of talent on the team, so it's going to be very hard for them to compete. And if Deshaun is not there, we are looking at what could look like an exhibition team. So
Oh, Bill O'Brien, his presence is going to be felt by the Houston Texans for a very long time to come. Because, I mean, like you said, this is a team that has so many different needs on both sides of the ball that you have to rebuild through the draft. I don't think there was any, one move they could have made in free agency that would have necessarily made their team that much better. It's just, it's all of these low-level signings. It's about the volume of low-level signings instead of trying to go out and, get... some quality players. You could assign one or two quality players, continue to build around them in the draft. But even from the draft perspective, they don't have a lot of draft picks. That's the problem with rebuilding for the Texans. So I don't know what the answer is for them, but not a great start for Nick Caserio.
Not at all. He's going to have an uphill battle, but he knew what he was getting himself into. I don't feel sorry for him at all. So if you missed it, we just recapped some of the best and worst signings. We had the Patriots, Washington's football team, the Jets, the Browns, the Giants, the Chargers, and the 49ers as some teams that we felt like strongly improved. Whereas the Raiders, the Texans, the Bears, the Bengals, the Titans, and there was a few other teams that we didn't mention that probably we could have had, like, what are the Packers doing? But you could always say that about the Packers in the offseason. So that should do it for us. Thank you, Kate. Is there anything that you want to plug before we get out of here?
Yeah, go ahead. Give me a follow on Twitter at FFBallBlast and check out our work. We're doing lots of exciting free agency work over at DraftKings Nation, as you guys are at SB Nation. So stay tuned. We've got lots of moves to make and lots of draft content coming up. So definitely tune in.
Yeah, we'll be segueing to the draft here as that's about a month away. So we're going to be focused on that coming up. Thank you, as always, for listening. Please rate, subscribe, review wherever it is that you get your podcast. Thank you for listening.